You have to have a translator when you speak. Let's go to Luke 10. Oh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, Lord. Thank you so much for the sunshine and thank you for the warmer weather. Lord, I pray that you bless this time. I pray the Holy Spirit have free reign and free unction in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. When I was a kid, it seemed like the days were forever. A week was forever. If somebody said you could have it in a week, it took months for that week to go by. And nowadays, it seems like the older you get, the faster the days go by. And I don't understand it. If it's the end, we're getting close to the end times, or are you just getting old, and that's the way it gets when you get older. I don't know, but it seems like the days go by so fast. I remember when I was a kid our families would get together. My family would get together, and all the aunts and uncles and all the kids was there, and we would meet at my grandmother and grandfather's house, and it just went by so long. I mean, the whole day was so beautiful. And now the days are so quick. People don't have time to get together. People don't have time for everything. Everybody's out trying to make a living. Everybody's trying to do the things, trying to get everything packed into one day that they can. And that used to not be so. So I don't understand why that is. I have to make a list. If I want to do something, I have to make a list because I'm forgetful. But if I have that list and I look at it, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, and I got to do this. And if I don't make that list, I don't get too much done. Some people say that even with the list, I don't get too much done. But I get more done if I have that list. I helped my brother-in-law move three times. And my brother-in-law had a lot of stuff. I don't understand why I was so stressed out. I know my wife was stressed out because she was doing all the packing and stuff. But this move from this house should be easy because we only had two pieces of furniture, really. All the rest is in storage. And so it ought to be an easy move. And we had a trailer and we had a truck and we had a Jeep. And we had to make two trips to the storage unit to put stuff in. And then we still had all this stuff on everything else. It was just, I don't know where we get all this stuff. I don't understand it. And Luke 10, verse 38. It says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" There's a lot of things in this world that we get distracted by. Falling crutches. You get distracted by that. North Korea could drop a bomb on us.
Come on.
Russia could drop a bomb on us. It just used to be Russia. Now North Korea, Iran, Pakistan, any country just about. China. Anyone could drop a bomb on us just about. So we could sit there and we could be so worried that the world's going to come to end, that maybe we're going to be in a nuclear war with somebody. There's a lot of talk about our electric grid that they can knock out 9 sites or 11 sites and this whole country would be out of power. And I want to tell you something, be without power for 2 or 3 days and see if your world doesn't change.
Yeah, come on.
But there's so many things that we can be distracted by. There's so many things that we can worry about. We can worry ourselves to death. My mother did that. She worried herself to death. My sister's on her way. If there's nothing to worry about, we're going to create something to worry about because we have to worry. Martha is worried about some stuff. There's people in there. I don't know about you, but most of the time that if you go to somebody's house and there's a get-together or a reunion or something, all the women are cooking, all the women are doing stuff, and Martha's in the kitchen by herself. Mary, her sister, ought to be in there with her, she thinks. But Mary's at the feet of Jesus. You see, Jesus has taken 7 devils from her. And all she wants to be is around this guy who just saved her, who's taken those devils away from her. She don't care about anything about the world. She don't care about nothing. The Savior's here, and I need to be at his feet. I want to hear every word he says. Well, I want to tell you something. When I got saved, that was me. All the demons that I don't know how many demons I had, if I had a demon or if I was, I don't know, but I know one thing. When Jesus saved me, all I wanted to do is be around people of faith, and I wanted to be around Jesus. I fell in love with this book.
Yeah,
nothing really mattered. Now you get a little bit older in your Christianity, and all of a sudden all these things come at you. And you get distracted. When I went to the village, I got distracted because now I had 18 guys I was in charge of, and I had to make sure all of them was doing what they were supposed to be doing. I had to make sure that I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. I had to make sure that they went to the doctor. I had to make sure they went to the dentist. I had to make sure that they was doing their devos. I had to make sure that they was making their cleaning their room and making their bed and everything. And all of a sudden, my time went from 5:30 in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning till midnight. And I didn't have a lot of time to be at Jesus' feet. And all of a sudden, I had so many cares and so many worries. You try raising 18 kids with no wife and see how it does. It gets hard. So Mary is at the kitchen, and Martha's at the kitchen. She's the only one in there. And she thinks she ought to be helped. And in verse 40, it says... that she was cumbered about much serving. Cumbered means distracted. She was distracted with what she was doing and nobody was helping her. Kind of like when that crutch fell. It distracted me. But she was distracted because she was thinking about what she had to get done. Her to-do list. This has to get done. This needs to be done. It needs to be done now. Boy, when we was doing all that moving, I was going, we have to have a house. We have to have it now. We got to do this. You see, what we need to understand is maybe our to-do list is not as great as what God wants us to do. If his to-do list gets done, then all the rest of it gets done. Turn with me to, keep your spot there and turn with me to Matthew 6. I'm going to read a lot of scripture. That way I don't have to talk. Starting in verse 24, Matthew 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So what this is saying is God knows all of our needs. And if we concentrate on what he wants us to concentrate on, all those needs will be met. Now, we take this as all of our desires, our wants, our dreams, everything that we think that we have to have, and we put that in there. But it says that all of the things that you need to eat, drink, clothe, you see your necessities. All those things are going to be provided for you. I told y'all this before, but I was over there for 10 years and I never bought a pair of pants. They were all provided. Not by the village, but all of a sudden donations would come in, or my cousin or some of my family would send me some in the mail, or somebody would buy me some and hand it to me. Not me going and asking them, but they just sending it to me. One time I had 8 pair of blue jeans over there. You see, all those things were added unto me. I was worried more about God's kingdom and his righteousness than all the things that I was needing. And he provided for those things. Now then, I want you to turn over to, I'm on the same page as this, but I don't know where y'all are. Y'all have Scofield reference Bibles. In chapter 7 of Matthew, in verse 7, it says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Now, we've been here before. Y'all have heard this message, scripture many times. And I think I've even told y'all about this. I love that a lot more better than it was in Luke 11. Because it says down here in verse 11, it says, "How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" And I was all about things when I got saved. Because, see, I'd lost everything because of my addictions. And after I got saved and I was working and I got all that money and started coming in and I started buying things, well then, man, I said, I have to have these things to be happy. This is what I always wanted, is all these things. And then I started listening to TV preachers and prosperity preaching. And then all of a sudden, man, if the more I give, the more God's going to give me. And I'll have all these things and I'll be happy. Turn back over to Luke 10. See, we get distracted from what really we're supposed to be doing. We get distracted by a lot of things. I want to tell you something. Cell phones can distract you.
Amen.
Dave talked about watching the news and getting depressed. Well, I don't know. I used to like politics. And I think it was because I love to argue. I'm not sure. But I like watching them old things about all of our old presidents. I like watching that. I love to see where I was born and raised. Everybody said you got to be a Democrat because those Republicans caused the Great Depression. So everybody around us was Democrat for a long time. So when Reagan come in, due to my upbringing, I said, "Oh, this guy's going to ruin us." But the more I listened to Reagan, the more I saw what was going on, the more I understood. But the Republicans didn't cause the Great Depression. I think God caused the Great Depression. He was trying to give us a warning, just like 9/11 was a warning to us. But we didn't heed the warning. We didn't do anything. We went right on about trying to make all the money we can. And so I started listening to Reagan. And what I liked about Reagan is Tipper Gore was the Speaker of the House, and he was a Democrat, but they worked together. They was best friends. Their ideology was wrong or different, but they were still two people that loved America. And they worked together and got a lot done. You can't find that today. You can't find that because everybody's after their own little kingdom. If you're going to be a Democrat, then you got to come in here and the Democrats say, do this, do this, do this, and you got to do it, or you won't get reelected because they won't give you the money to do it. The same thing with Republicans. They'll do the same thing. If you don't go along with them, then you don't get the help and you don't get reelected. And it's all about being reelected. It ain't doing the country any good. And if you get somebody in there who wants to do the country any good, then they won't do anything for them up there. And nothing gets done. In verse 41 of Luke 10, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. Now, careful means wearied. You're wearied and troubled about many things. What's God's commandment to us? Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about nothing. But in all things, give thanks and make your prayers and supplications known. Well, we hear, just like we read in chapter 6 of Matthew, that seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And we hear that, and we say, okay, and we walk out the door, and he goes, I got to go out here, I got to do it, I got to get these things. And we forget about His righteousness and His kingdom. Verse 41, again, it says, Martha, Martha, they're careful. You all are worried and troubled about many things. And those things you don't even need to worry and be troubled about. You don't need to be worried about. When he came into the boat with the disciples, and they was worried, when he was in the boat with the disciples, and they woke him up and said, hey, Master, Master, we perish. And he goes, why are you troubled? Peace be still. And everything was calm. It was the same boat. It was the same sea. It was just the conditions was a little different. And you know, our conditions may be a little different every once in a while. But He's still the same God.
Amen.
We're still in the same boat. It's just, hey, this is the same place that it was snowing. It was a whiteout the other night. The night we moved, it was a whiteout here. You could barely see driving down the road. It's the same place. It's Dresden. It's the same place. It's just the conditions are different. Guess what? Everybody that I was around today had a great time. They had a great cheerfulness about them. You know why? The sun was shining. It's the same place. It's just different conditions. And we are so condition-driven that we don't realize, you know what? God's still God. We're in the same place. I always thought that I wanted to go to Alaska because I like to hunt and fish. And the last year I worked for a bowling alley company, a bunch of guys from that company went to Alaska. In fact, my boss, that company, went to Alaska just about every year. And I didn't get to go. And then the very next year, the last year I worked for him, they went again. But I didn't get to go. I had to go to Nantucket. Now, the year I quit, we were scheduled to go to Alaska. And my boss said that he guaranteed me I'd get to go to Alaska. But then I quit. I didn't get to go. Do you know that I don't know about now through all the drugs and all the stuff, but Alaska used to be the number one place for suicide. You know why? Because it's dark out there for about 6 months out of the year. And it's cold. And you can't go outside. And if you do, you can't go outside very long. And people can't stand that. And they commit suicide because they're so depressed. Now, you take that same person and put them in Florida, and they never would probably commit suicide. It's all about our conditions. It's all about our surroundings. It's all about our situation that makes us happy or sad. As child of God, we're supposed to be happy no matter what our situation.
Amen.
But can I tell you something? That's easy to say. Like Pastor said the other day, it's easy to say. But until you're in that condition. Verse 42 of Luke 10. This is Jesus speaking. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know, when I came back from overseas, when I came back from Europe the last time, I had $10,000 in my pocket cash. I flew in because my boss over here needed me in Georgia. I've had a lot of nice things in my life, and I lost every one of them. I've had not a lot of money, but I've had quite a bit of money in my lifetime. And if I hadn't squandered it all, I could be pretty well set up right now. But I squandered it all. And when I came to Christ, nothing in this world mattered to me. Nothing. I was through with this world. I've had enough. If God was real, I wanted Him to take me to heaven right then and there. Well, guess what? God was real. And He took me to heaven. I'm just not there yet. And it was the happiest day of my life when I got saved. I was then, like them that dreamed again. And do you know what? Nothing mattered. And when God told me to quit my job, it was the hardest thing in my life that I had to do. Because, see, I was getting all those things back through that job. In fact, I had started dreaming about having my own company so I could get even more money. But when you realize when you have Jesus, you have everything.
Amen.
It doesn't really matter. You see, Martha was looking at it in a worldly view like I was when I got saved. And I was looking at the things, like it said in Matthew. Ask anything. Your Heavenly Father loves to give you stuff, and He does. Our Heavenly Father is a good, good Father. And I want you to look over here in Luke 11, in verse 13. This is the same story we just read in Matthew, but it's recorded in Luke, and it's recorded a little bit different. It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You see, all of a sudden, this doesn't say things, it says Holy Spirit. And can I tell you something? You can have all the things in the world. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to heaven, then you're in rough shape. You see, Mary was looking at the spiritual thing. She didn't care if there was any food out there. When we went down to the missionary conference there at Pastor Hack's church, and Brother Fisher, I knew Doug, but I couldn't remember Fisher. Brother Fisher was speaking, and sometimes he had a way of looking straight at you and asking a question, and you think, because he's looking right at you, that, hey, he's looking at me. And he goes, now, we're going to go on a little bit further and we'll eat a little bit later. Is that all right with you? And he looked right at me. And I wanted to say, I don't care if we eat all day long. I'd rather hear the preaching. I could go all day long without eating. You see, Mary wasn't worried about if they was going to get any food that day. Mary wasn't worried about if anybody was going to get toast or if anybody was going to get eggs, if anybody was going to do anything, she was sitting there listening to Jesus. She was getting fed there. And that's all that mattered to her. You see, she was looking at the spiritual thing. Martha's looking at the worldly thing. We have to get this done. There's a saying, in 100 years, what you're worried about, in 100 years, will it really matter? In 100 years from now, what you're worried about, does it really matter? No, it don't. But in 100 years, what really matters is if you did what God wanted you to do. You see, when we get saved, we still have our ability to think that we're still God. I was God in my life before I got saved. And still, you know, that surrendering part, I never will forget Mr. Siegfried used to say, Trey, when that surrender part is, you'll cry more when you surrender than you will when you get saved. Now, I want to tell you something. When I quit my job, I cried all day long. I cried like a little baby. I tried to hide it, and I couldn't because the lane I was working on was full of tears. It was wet. You see, I surrendered that day. I said, you know, this is my dream, but Lord, I know you want me to quit, so I'm quitting. And you know what? The next day I got in my truck and I took my life back over again. You see, it's not what we want, it's what God wants. I'm sitting there the other day and I'm telling God, I'm too old to start over. All I've done my whole life is start over. I'm 52 years old. I don't have anything. I started over when I got saved for the 122nd time. And I thought everything was going to go great. And then you told me to quit my job. That was great. I'm not griping about that. I love what I did over there. And then I didn't get paid over there. And now I ain't got nothing. And I'm just getting sick and tired of starting over. So I'm belly aching to God. And then Brother Matichero speaks this morning. And it's like, okay. I understand. I'll quit belly aching. Saturday, I had a to-do list. This is how I got this message. Saturday, I had a to-do list. And this is my to-do list. I wanted to take Dan's trailer back to Oba, get it fixed, and take him back to Dan, and then I wanted to slide on over to Pinyon and get my hair cut. I'm having a bad hair day. Okay? My wife hadn't had her hair done in over a year. Okay? Yet I go get my hair cut. Because I have to have my hair cut. When it starts touching my ears, I mean, that's just terrible. Yet my wife hadn't had her hair done in over a year. Now, what do you think, in the big scheme of things, should happen?
Shave your head. Shave your head.
I think my wife ought to get her hair done.
Amen.
Now, I was trying to hurry and get out of the house so I could get all this done. But something happened that we didn't get that done. And this is what my wife heard. Well, I guess it just wasn't meant to be. And she got mad. She said, what? Because she didn't know what I was talking about. I wasn't mad. I was just saying it wasn't meant to be. There's things in our lives that if we don't have that attitude that says, you know what, maybe it just wasn't meant to be, that maybe my to-do list is not going to get done today. Maybe my to-do list may not get done tomorrow. Or the next day, or the next day. We got to have that attitude that it just wasn't meant to be. You know what? If I hadn't squandered all my money, I could be sitting pretty pretty right now. Pretty pretty. Maybe I do need a translator. But see, it didn't happen that way. Because of my choices. And sometimes we blame God for things happening because it was on my to-do list. But God might say, you know what? I got a couple things on my to-do list that you haven't done. we need to really think about the spiritual things instead of the physical things. Because my Bible says that all those physical things are going to be burned up. And 100 years from now, it doesn't matter if I ever get that ranch in Texas. It doesn't matter if I ever do this. It doesn't matter if I do this. It doesn't matter if I do this. What really matters 100 years from now is what I did for God. What I did for Jesus. You see, quitting that job was the hardest thing in my life I ever did. But it was the best thing I ever did. Next to salvation. Because see, that's what God wanted me to do. I had a friend of mine that I went to school with my whole life, and he heard what I'd done, and he called me, and he got my number from one of my cousins, and he called me and said, "Tracy, I can't believe it." And I said, "You can't believe it." And he said, "I don't think I could ever do something like that." I want to tell you something. God tells you to do something, you better do it.
Amen.
You better do it. So when you find out that the only thing you have is Jesus, you find out that Jesus is the only thing you ever needed. And we get messed up sometimes, and we get stressed out, and we get distracted, and we get on this other track that we need to be on, and we lose sight of that sometimes. There's one thing we need, and that's just choose the good part. If we keep on reading the Bible, what I like about the Bible is that there's real people in the Bible. It's not a fairy tale book. You see, Mary didn't get what she wanted from Jesus a little bit later on, and she gets mad at him. And everybody thinks that Jesus is crying because Lazarus died. And that's not why Jesus is crying.
Amen.
Jesus is crying because the people he loved didn't believe in him, and they were mad at him. They didn't trust him. And see, that's why he cried. It really doesn't matter what goes on in our life. I remember reading in one of my devotions about a guy who fell in love with this girl, dedicated his life to God, and fell in love with this girl, and they was going to get married, and he got sick and died. Because he was, I think it was tuberculosis, I'm not sure, but he got sick and died. And I'm reading that and said, how terrible is that, man? He was just almost getting married. And you took him away. And see, God's ways aren't our ways. And his thoughts aren't our thoughts. And a lot of times I'm glad about that, because if I was God, I'd have zapped me a long time ago. I wouldn't have put up with me. But he puts up with me. He puts up with all of us. And what we got to understand is we got to make sure that our to-do lists are his. And if we get his list done, then he'll get our list done. But we get that backwards. Just like in Matthew 6, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And then we leave. We get the vehicle, we start driving off, and in our minds we're seeking those things. That's going to make us happy. I've had a lot of things in my life, and I wasn't happy. And the more things you have, the more things you got to have. Because that void's not filled by those things. That void can only be filled by the Holy Spirit. And that's what makes us whole. So sometimes it just ain't meant to be. What are you going to do about it? I'm gray-headed. I got a cousin that's 6 days older than me. He's bald-headed. Thank you, Lord. Amen? You got to be thankful for what God wants you, where God has you and what God wants you to do there. Same condition, same place, different conditions. It's sunny out. Everybody's got a smile on their face. Everybody's happy. I'll guarantee if you'd have been here Thursday night. Was it Thursday night? Thursday night, you would have been happy. Because if you was walking, you was getting pelted by snow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your love. I thank you that you are a good, good Father. And Lord, I thank you that if we need a piece of bread, that you will give it to us. we need an egg, you'll give it to us. And Lord, you won't turn anybody down if they ask for the Holy Spirit either. I thank you that you would save somebody like me. Even me, you save, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that we could not be distracted by this world or what the things that are in it, or what anybody else is doing, or our situation, Lord, that we'd understand that you're God no matter what's going on, and you're a good, good Father. Give us a great night in Jesus' name. Amen.
In our song books, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Watch the words of this old hymn as we'd sing it in our invitation. Praise the Lord.